Numbers and Tech Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. Numbers and Tech Podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Every entrepreneur has a story. Listen to women discuss the financial side of their business, both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining. Today's guest is Abby Ness, whose business is Organized by Abby. Welcome, Abby.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, can't wait to dive in. So I'm going to read a few things off your website, okay. See if you remember. You describe yourself as an organized minimalist, which I love that term right there. But you organize and create a usable home or office space by helping your clients declutter and minimize their stuff. And one of the slogans I read on your website was, "Get back to the life, peace, and excitement which has been buried by excess stuff." That sounds heavenly. So welcome. So you're a self-described organized minimalist. You organize and create a usable home or office space by helping your clients declutter and minimize their stuff. And one of the slogans I read on your website is, "Get back the life, peace, and excitement which has been buried by excess stuff." And all that sounds wonderful. So we want to know, how did you become organized by Abby? And what all does that entail for your clients?
Thank you so much. Yeah, so I actually, I organized from the beginning. From the first time I can remember, I was rearranging my room so it was more functional. I would literally draw up pages of, okay, if I move my desk over here, it would make more space for my dolls and toys over in this corner. You know, I was really young and just really trying to, you know, help make a space the most effective that it can be. And my parents and my siblings would always joke around with me about how I would always get rid of things or I would throw things away. So if they couldn't find something, they would always come to me like, "What did you do with my stuff?" Like, well, I know what you should keep or not, which is not the right route to go. But they still even joke around with it or about it with me. And so, yeah, I just grew up with always thinking of that and wanting to, again, just really help people kind of enjoy the space that they lived in. And I have 6 siblings and we were all homeschooled. So if you can imagine, it was very just busy and lots of stuff going on. So I was always trying to help my mom kind of, you know, clean and organize, which I loved it. So then I would also, it would parlay into the jobs that I would have. I would, you know, try to organize, do absolutely anything I could when it came to the job I was at, because my parents were really good at raising us in the way of just being really hard workers and being helpful in that. And my dad would often say, like, "Gosh, you should, you know, help do this for other people," because I ended up being his office manager. And I was like, "No, Dad, no way. I don't want to organize other people's offices." But he was onto something, and he's, you know, also has his own company as well. So we grew up with kind of an entrepreneur type of mindset. And eventually, kind of fast forward a little bit, I had thankfully, and by the grace of God, gotten out of a very abusive and controlling, manipulative, narcissist ex-boyfriend relationship. So when that ended, I ended up with nothing. I had absolutely nothing left. I was over $43,000 worth of debt. I was medically, I was so off, in and out of the doctor's office, getting all these blood tests. I had no relationships left because with narcissists, they tend to take you away from people that matter the most to you. And I just was broken. I was suicidal. I had to start seeing a counselor, and my life was in shambles. And especially wanting to end it, there was nothing left for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any dreams, no money left or anything. And I almost lost my job. And so finally I started to, you know, I got a good stable job. I started to piece my life back together again. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of fast forward a few more years, I was at my parents' house or their lodge up in Alaska. They have a lake lodge up there. And I was kind of just sitting back and admiring the amazing beauty. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's hard to even describe. It's just absolutely flawless. And so I was kind of sitting back and looking at what my parents had built. I mean, literally from the ground up by their bare hands. And I mean, some equipment rentals, but it's in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So they created this beautiful place for people to come up and sometimes clients, sometimes family, relatives, friends of friends. And they were serving people and they were helping people. And they were starting, or not starting, but they were living a life that was just so beautiful. And I was like, oh, I want to build something. I want to, not a lodge, but I want to build my hope and my dream to help people. And so then I was like, oh, well, what could I do? And then of course my dad was like, well, what about what I mentioned to you quite a while ago, you know, in a nice way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, I want to be the big corporate office lady with a suit and a, you know, huge building, and which all that's great. But after I started to think about it a little bit more, I'm like, my dad is right. And I mean, you know, kind of a humbling thing to say sometimes, but you know, this was a couple years ago. And I just was like, that is absolutely right. So January 1st of 2018, I put on my big girl panties, strapped my boots up, and I started my business to help people doing what I already, well, for the most part, already knew how to do. There's, you know, things I want to get honed in on, but yeah, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to help people with this passion of what I know how to do, and to help the, you know, where it gets really the nitty gritty in the situations where they, you know, it's not just so you can organize it, but to actually declutter and get back their life.
Mm-hmm. And what's so amazing is that was a skill that you started just naturally as a child.
Yes.
And so in that way, if you think about it, you've had decades in preparation for that. And even I love how your siblings or your parents, you might get rid of things that you don't think they need, but they think they need. And how is that relevant to today? I mean, even with your clients now, I think we put such an emotional bond in a lot of our possessions.
We do.
So you've been honing that skill for a long time.
Yeah, I have. And I was even more so, I didn't think vacuums did a good enough job. So I got down on the ground and started, you know, picking up piece of hair or dirt. And, you know, I was so little when I was doing that, but I was like, no, I'm going to take control here. And I'm going to, you know, I'm not a control freak at all, but exactly. I'm like, nope, vacuums aren't good enough. I'll do it.
So early 2018, you decide to, I guess at the time, launch this side hustle.
Yep.
What were kind of the first few tasks you focused on opening a new business like that? Was it business plan, being super formal, or was it just, you know, opening an Instagram or a Facebook group, or, you know, like what were the first few months like?
Yeah. Well, I think for anyone that wants to start something new or a company or to just try a new hobby or in a relationship, you have to start making the first step. And that was what was actually the most difficult, is that, you know, we can come up with all these ideas and dreams and, you know, desires, but until we actually put action into it, it's still just a dream. I mean, dreams are amazing. I'm a huge believer of that, But if it's just a dream, it's just a dream. And what I tried to kind of start implementing into my life is like, okay, you don't win a marathon by 4 big leaps. Like, we're not kangaroos. You win it by one step at a time, or one stride. Well, mm-hmm. or if you run like I do, it's one baby step tripping and then fall. Yeah, it's quite a scary situation there with me trying to run. But I started making one step after the other. And what that was is, okay, I'll start an Instagram page. Okay, I will start a website. And I had, you know, my brother helped me with my website. I had some of my siblings, since we're actually all entrepreneurs, actually all mm-hmm. my 6 siblings now, I just kind of kept getting some ideas from them, like, oh, well, how should I do this? How should I do this? And I started asking questions. And so I would, you know, put it up an Instagram page and then figuring out, oh, okay, well, I guess I need to talk about organizing. Okay, so I started to adjust that. And I just started doing one thing after another. And that just really is what helped me actually start. And then I just started, it was word of mouth really is where a lot of the clients started coming from. And I just started sharing, opening up my mouth and saying, hey, if you know of anyone that could use my services, or here, I just started this, you know, really just starting to share about what I was doing. That was, you know, step 20, but it was one of the steps. I really just started making those small steps that sometimes people think, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'm just starting a page, or I'm just, you know, asking questions. No, it's actually a big deal, because it's all those steps leading to a really big marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those baby steps, and also congratulating yourself for that accomplishment.
You know,
and recognizing, like you said, some people might think, oh, that's not a big deal, but really it is. And putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, when I decided to kind of leave the corporate world and go on my own, just telling people, hey, I offer this service if you're interested, or you know anyone that is, that's really putting yourself out there. And that's very uncomfortable for many people.
Very.
I want to go back to, there was an article, if you search your name or your business online, this article pops up all over. And the headline of the article, it's a great headline: Tidying Up Her Life and Money Helped a 34-year-old Pay Off $43,500 in Debt in 3 Years. So tell us about that. How did you get this great article out there? And what is the article about? Because that sounds pretty amazing right there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so that was all a part of the journey, again, all those steps here and there. So as I was piecing my life back together, and, you know, as I mentioned, I was so far into debt, and I was gradually getting out of debt with kind of more of a stable job, and then, you know, starting the side hustle and wanting to get that going. But I knew one of the big things that I wanted to accomplish, especially with putting back together my life, was getting out of debt. My parents are phenomenal. So they really helped show us that you don't have to go into debt just to, you know, make, you know, either this dream happen or please these people or whatever. I mean, it is, I could talk about it for a very long time, mm-hmm. but being debt-free is such a big deal, not even just financially, but emotionally and spiritually, and how you view life and things and money. And so as I was, again, piecing my life back together, wanting to get out of debt, I chose to go the Dave Ramsey plan and just, you know, follow his tips and tricks. And a lot of what he would say is that it's 80% head knowledge, like, or internal, and 20% like tangible, you know, money or job or spending. It's all about what's going on in the heart and how you're viewing and perspective and how you're viewing yourself. And so I was like, ooh, okay. Now I kind of have a more of a clear plan to follow, mm-hmm. and all those steps. And so it was exciting. And so finally, you know, with the side hustle and literally working some days, 15-hour days, and then I would have clients on the weekend, or I'd have clients right after work. And my brother makes kind of a joke every so often, like, yeah, sometimes I didn't see you within like 2 years, because I was so focused. I was so done with paying my hard-earned money to these companies that they're the ones with the huge tall buildings. They don't need my money. Mm-hmm. I need my money. And, you know, on my student loans, it was like $150 paying on just interest. I was like, this is not cool for for many reasons. And so as I just kept, you know, making one big payment after the other and realizing I was getting closer and closer. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And finally, you know, after, oh my gosh, again, it was just, it's crazy to look back at it and see I was working so many hours and that's all I was doing. And then once I finally paid off my debt, it was so freeing, but I kept focusing on the big goal and the dream of being debt-free and not having to pay my money to anyone. I mean, sure, there's rent or mortgage or, you know, little bills mm-hmm. like cell phone, but paying someone else to borrow the money, I just could not even fathom I will finally be free of this. And so once I got there, after a few months, I shared on my Instagram just saying, hey, you know, debt free. And it was like a picture on a beach after I went on this fun
trip. It's a very cute picture. Oh, I think you're like jumping on a beach written yep. in the sand, debt free.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I thought that was so fun and unique. And because after I had paid off the debt, I brought my two youngest sisters to Disneyland because we hadn't been there since years. And I'm just like, oh, I'm such a child at heart. So mm-hmm. I just thought, oh my gosh, what a way to celebrate than at Disneyland. So I was able to take that picture on that trip. And so I, you know, tagged Dave Ramsey on there. And then maybe about a month or so later, he reshared it on his Instagram page. And, you know, it gets hundreds and thousands of likes and comments mm-hmm. and all the things. Oh, I just thought that was the neatest thing because it was all because of him, you know, me, or not only because of him, but just his amazing plan that he's really helped a lot of people with. And so I was like, oh, it's so cool and fun. And then a couple months later, CNBC reached out to me, their Acorns division, and said they wanted to write an article. You know, they saw the post or, mm-hmm. and they wanted to write an article about me. I was like, what? Is this, are you for reals first? You know, I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, sure. And it's, you know, spam, but it was legitimately them. And they, you know, just wanted to share my story. And so, gosh, that was an entertaining thing because I, not always the most, you know, perfectly eloquently sharing all the right words and everything, but I was just honored at the opportunity. So now it's been reshared. I think the last time I looked, it was like reshared on multiple different platforms about 10 different times. So
it's nice to see happy news too.
It is.
And relatable.
Yeah.
I think, you know, your story is relatable. And I know we've known each other a few years now. And one of the things you commented on was, you know, not only the mental organization as well as the physical act of organizing your life and your possessions. And I see that as an accountant so much. And I know we've talked a few times about collaborating and we haven't been able to do that yet, but there is the mental side of organizing and of finances and wrapping your head around what you're going to do, your actions, why you select what actions we do, why we select the things we buy. And I think a really good point is spending our money. We vote and we share our values through economics, whether we think about it or not, by going to that restaurant or ordering something online or buying your gas at a certain gas station. You really are saying your values align with them or that the values they have aren't important. And I think, one, we're just so busy, sometimes it's hard to even know what a corporation or a store's values are. But when you do take the time, I like that. Like you said, there's some giant international corporations that all of us spend money with. And maybe they are doing fantastic things for the world and the environment. But there's some that aren't either. And making that conscious effort makes you too feel good about spending money, or it makes you think about not spending your money and going somewhere else, whether that's a local business or an international business. So I think that's a big point of it. And I try and say that as much as possible.
That's so true.
I really do. Our money speaks. You know, they say money makes the world go around, as well as love makes the world go around. But we have a lot of power in our pocketbooks, and I think we need to realize it.
We do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I like that. So I wanted to make sure, read that article. It's a great, happy article. And congratulations on getting out of debt.
Thank you.
And I guess maybe this is a personal question. Have you been able to stay out of debt?
Yes.
Do you find, okay, that's
thankfully,
good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you diet. You can lose that weight, but then staying, right. keeping it off, that's oftentimes just as tough.
Yeah, well, and that was such a neat thing about Dave Ramsey. And then, and also other, you know, my parents and a handful of people that I do know that follow this process as well. It's the discipline that comes into place throughout that journey. And that's why the journey is so important, because it's not just to get out of debt. I mean, for sure, that's the goal. But it's also the amazing things that you learn about yourself along the way. And why am I spending money in that area? Why can I not hold on to money? It all comes back to, you know, what are my values? I mean, what am I intentionally doing with my time, my money? And mm-hmm. and that all it mm-hmm. all, you know, plays a part together. And it's so that was really the cool thing too, about what I learned about myself, about what really matters to me, what I value during that entire process, because then, I come out even better, not just that I don't owe anyone anything that financially wise, but it's like, oh gosh, all these tips and tricks that I learned mm-hmm. and my mindset that changed, because mm-hmm. our mindset and how we view ourselves, that determines everything. So that's, mm-hmm. that, oh,
it's
man,
just as
that
important
was fun.
Too, or yeah. probably even more important, right. the valuable lesson. So I did notice, it says in the article, you know, it took you about 3 years to get out of debt.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at, you announced on your social media, I think just a little over a week ago, that you've left your corporate job and yeah. you're now 100% self-employed. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And you told me you kind of started your official business in 2018. It's now 2021. There's another three-year parallel.
Yeah. Oh.
You must be on like these three-year journeys.
Yeah.
But I think that's also nice for listeners to know too. You know, one, things don't happen overnight,
right.
or don't expect them to happen in 6 months.
Yep.
And it's okay to take a little longer. And that also, like you said, with the marathon, taking those steps, yeah. you do get there, and just to keep at it.
So
tell us a little bit about what made you decide to leave that. I mean, in some ways, a 9-to-5 job is very safe.
Yeah.
Very and how's so. It been? Was that always your end goal, or is this a new goal to become self-employed?
Yeah, it's always been the goal. And I, you know, as I, you know, started creating this new company over 3 years ago, I really thought, oh yeah, that I want to do this full time. You know, I want to have more control over my time and what I do for, you know, clients and my dreams. And then I kind of just thought like, well, maybe that won't ever happen. You know, I'm not trying to think like, oh, I have to do this, right? Like, I won't be satisfied, or I won't be, you know, a good or successful person unless I, you know, leave my corporate day job and do this full time. I was like, you know what? Maybe that won't happen, because I really was so in an exciting and like happy way of like, you know what? I love doing my side hustle. I enjoy my corporate day job. I mean, there's pros and cons to mm-hmm. all of it. I mean, it's not that I, you know, wanted to stay there forever by any means, but I'm like, oh, you know what? I, you know, went on plenty of trips, and I've, you know, really just been able to maintain a really great thing here. And with such a rough past that I came from, with, you know, just the worst time in my life, I was so happy to finally like, okay, man, not that everything was perfect, but man, I was able to get to a stable spot that I hadn't been in probably 15 years, you know, and mm-hmm. with just so much that had gone on. And so I was like, okay, nope, I'm good. And then but I kept thinking in the back of my mind, well, maybe I would like to do this full time eventually. So I for sure kept that open, but then eventually, like as the year, you know, years went on and months went on, I started thinking like, okay, what am I doing? I was just kind of like pausing, rethinking, especially with COVID, and that has just forced everyone to rethink just where their values lie, where they are spending their money, the focus on their health or the lack thereof. It is just quite an opportunity to really see what's going on. And so I just started to evaluate that more and more. And I was like, okay, I like my day job, but where am I going in life? You know, I was such a dreamer before, and I really wanted to keep expanding that. And so I was like, okay, what if I was to leave my day job? What would I do? Like, oh no, there's no way. Okay, well, financially, how am I doing? What are my goals? Right? It just really helped me like step out of the box of just where I was living, and not that it was a bad thing, but I was like, but I'm not really dreaming anymore. I'm cutting myself short for what I know I have the potential for. And sure, people think that success is like, oh, this dollar amount, or oh, you did all these maybe traveling things, or you own these certain things. But what if success is more about what is going on the inside? Again, similar as to how I was able to get out of debt and stay out of debt. What if there's more going on than just my day job? Like, what if I could really, really help a lot of people with this company? And because that's where my passion lies, and I have that desire. So I was like, what if I made that jump? I mean, you know, because sometimes you think, again, like, oh, well, it's a dream. Like, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe in the future. Cool, whatever. But again, I was up in Alaska again, and I'm like, what do I really want to do? I want to pursue this full time. And if I fall flat on my face and, you know, say drain my accounts or whatever, okay, but at least I tried. At least I jumped out there, got scuffed up. I mean, I have wrecked a four-wheeler and scuffed up my arms, and I was ran over by a car when I was one, have a tar on my face. Like, I've been scuffed up plenty in life. So what if I actually try something that is a company that doesn't put a cap on me on how much I'm going to earn or what I'm going to do? What could have really happened? Who knows? I mean, super scary, but I was like, I'd rather have tried that and given it my all than not try it all and have to restart over again. Because I was like, you know what? I fought for my life tooth and nail, and fought for my life so hard because I had almost lost it. I'm like, not that I would go that bad again, but I know I can do this. The resilience that I would build up, I was like, yep, bring it on. Let's do this.
Right. And I oftentimes want to remind people that just because one business venture may not work out, to not view that as a failure.
Yeah.
It's just the stepping stone to whatever your next thing is in life, whether that's going back to a 9-to-5, whether it's partnering with someone else or opening a different business, because the underlying skills and lessons, they transfer over to personal and professional life. So yeah. I love that. I say, take the chance and learn what you can and move on to the next thing. And maybe the next thing is the same thing you're doing now, or maybe it is something completely different. Yeah. But I never view anything as a failure. And I think you'll see that too as you look at all the, you know, business greats of our time or even in the past. How many so-called failures have they had till they've had a success?
Right.
And if we didn't, you know, so much of life is to just keep trying, getting back up and trying it different or a different time or doing something. So,
that's so yeah, true.
I applaud you for making that jump. So you've mentioned your father being, you know, wise in his wisdom. And you also mentioned following the Dave Ramsey method for, you know, getting out of financial debt. Have you ever really had like a formal mentor in your either school or career or job?
Yeah, I've had, which again, with how amazing my parents are, and again, not that they're perfect by any means. I don't like to come across as myself or my family or your parents or anyone thinking that they're all perfect, but thankfully, they really honed in on those skills that they did have, which was sharing their wisdom about who you surround yourself with and who you listen to, what you listen to, what you watch. That really has an effect on you that could either be really good or really bad. And so they always encourage us to be like, if there's someone that is, you know, we want to either model our lives after, or they're in an industry that we want to be in, like, go talk to them, like, ask them questions, like, how are you doing what you're doing? How did you get to your spot? So there's been, a few people in my high school years and early 20s that really, they modeled the life that I wanted to be a part of, you know, and kind of maybe a spiritual mentor, some of them. And they really helped me evaluate and see that, you know, how you view yourself is going to determine all of it. If you think you're a failure, or if you think that you're not good enough, then what you think will affect it. So it was huge to have mentors because they really helped me grow and see who I could really be.
Nice. I think it can be intimidating too, seeking out a mentor or asking someone. And I often tell people a mentor doesn't have to be a formal, hey, I want you to be my mentor, where you do that. It can also just be a point in time conversation or reading something too. But I also tell people that one person isn't going to be the best. There's not one person out there that knows all and is like the guru, that you do need to get a variety of opinions. So I also wanted to read for everyone a client review.
Oh, thank you.
Abby didn't just change my closet, but changed my whole mind frame on how I think about organization and the importance of having a clean slate to work in. So what advice do you have for others wanting to get organized?
Besides
having a consultation with you.
Absolutely. So it's, again, all comes back to what's going on the inside. I mean, some people may struggle with getting rid of stuff, or maybe they just struggle more so with just kind of having a process and flow put in place. But really what I help, you know, clients focus on first is going through the actual stuff and decluttering it and minimizing it. That's really one of the biggest focuses that I work with clients on, or you know, talk about on social media and sharing, is that, you know, you could try and organize without decluttering, but that's just putting a Band-Aid on the situation. There's a reason why there's piles there. And mind you, we all have that in some way. I mean, literally right now, my apartment is a disaster for multiple reasons. And I'm not trying to, oh, it's fine, I'll be like that for months. No, I'm just saying it's like, no one's perfect. No one isn't, you know, clutter can happen. However, I always try to encourage them and show them that the process to help out, to be organized, is to go through the stuff first, because that way it puts you in the situation of you needing to decide what you're going to keep, why you're going to keep it. And some people, they might be able to do that fast, but really it takes time and intention to do that. And that's why some people don't want to go through the stuff, because like, oh, I don't want to take the time. But also, there's a lot of emotions that come up too. I've had some clients that tend to cry when they're going through that stuff because they haven't seen some of it. I mean, maybe in decades, they haven't wanted to see it.
It's been boxed away.
Right, it's been boxed away. But similar with our own personal situations, if we box everything away, it's not going to get looked at. It's not going to get addressed. It's not going to be dealt with and looked at. And, you know, there's some dreams that are hiding in these boxes in people's closets of like, oh yeah, I used to, you know, maybe love photography and look at all these pictures that I took. And wow, I boxed that up and put it away because maybe there was a difficult situation that happened with photography. And they're like, nope, I never want to look at it again. Okay. And I get that. With going through an abusive relationship, I mean, I'm single right now. Hello, I'm single right now. Just doing a plug on that. But, you know, if I looked at my situation like, oh, I'm never going to date anyone again because of my terrible abusive ex, that's not a healthy way to view anything. You know, you go through the counseling and process to heal and be able to view it again correctly. But that's the same way with stuff. I mean, people just saying like, oh, we'll just, you know, organize it and get all the baskets and make it look pretty. Nope, that's putting a bow on a pig, you know, like that one expression. And so
you must develop quite the bond with some of your clients.
I do.
Or in a trust.
Yeah.
That. Yeah, I hadn't even considered.
Oh, yeah.
And I have the same way, too, talking to people about money. It's very personal.
Oh, so personal.
And, you know, oftentimes they don't even have those conversations with, you know, their other family members because they're ashamed for whatever reason. So, yeah, you must develop quite the friendship with your clients.
I do. And I try to, you know, I always remind them at least ahead of time or, you know, in our consultation that there's no judgment. I mean, I have seen it all. I've seen all extremes, and I get it. Like, it is, you know, when you are being vulnerable with anything, it is hard, but in order to have that success and that health, it's something that is involved with health and with success is the vulnerability and being okay with walking through someone in that process. Mm-hmm. We're not meant to just shove things in a closet and be alone. And, you know, we're meant to grow and be healthy and not perfect by any means, mm-hmm. but to have that vulnerability and the openness, because, you know, same with your hand, if you're closing it and holding tight on things, then that also means it's not being held open to be able to accept things.
I like that analogy.
You know, right? It's, I don't want to keep holding on to things because then I can't be open and open for what life
has.
That's
really sweet. I like that. Yeah. So how do you hope to grow over the next few years?
Yeah. Well, I love the growth and, you know, what you were saying before, just how, you know, we get so scared about failure and how that can be so crippling. It's definitely been a process of trying to get through the perspective of failure. I mean, it's a neurological issue that starts to happen if you start believing that you're a failure and you can't do these things. Like, well, what if? Okay, well, what if you do fly? I mean, I, you know, see that kind of motivational picture of like, well, mm-hmm. what if I fall? But what if you fly? I mean, so that's, you know, part of the process I'm going through is to, you know, not stay in the failure mentality and choosing to realize like, okay, if I'm not failing, I am not succeeding. I am not growing. I am not healing. Because failure doesn't mean like you are staying down. If you choose to stay down, then that's not a healthy thing. But if you're failing, then okay, well, that means that I figured out how I don't want to go that route or what does work really well. So for what I want for, you know, kind of working on for the future is that I'm writing a book. I am expanding more of the opportunities and ways to reach people to help them and to grow my knowledge and understanding on how people work and how they function when it comes to stuff, because it is just so crippling when it comes to stuff. So I, you know, there's not a lot of major lists out there of as to what that looks like yet, but I want to help people, and so those are a few things I know.
That a book I'm going that's to. Fantastic! Yeah. Congratulations. How's that process?
Oh man, quite the process. So I actually graduated from Boise State University with a bachelor's in communication, and I actually really, really struggled with dyslexia growing up. So even being able to graduate with a bachelor's from Boise State University, Smurf turf for life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think like, oh my gosh, you can't ever graduate. You have dyslexia. Well, I did. I did graduate. And mm-hmm. so writing a book is really, really scary. You know, mm-hmm. It's not that I'm like, oh, I graduated with a bachelor's in communication. I must be able to write and speak so well. Obviously, I have plenty of ways to grow and hone in on that skill or the lack thereof. And so, yeah, the book, it is going to be quite the process and has been. There's so many things that I want to share in it. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of progress or processes to go through, mm-hmm. but I'm beginning, and that's one of the hardest steps. The you know, like step. Us, right? It's yeah. the first step. So I'm like, okay, yeah. here we go.
Well, when you complete that book, you're definitely going to have to come back and we'll talk about it. I can't wait to see that.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for joining us today. Yeah. And please share with others how they can find you. Is it social media? And if they're interested in working with you, put all your plugs in.
Oh, thank you. So I have my website, so Organized by Abby. Mm-hmm. And Abby is spelled A-B-I. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So I'm on all of those. I share some really fun videos to help kind of instead of just the regular, you know, pretty baskets and organize. Again, I love that stuff. Absolutely mm-hmm. love it. But again, as we've discussed, I really like to focus on, you know, kind of the nitty gritty that's going on the inside mentally and emotionally. So I have some pretty silly videos that I like to try to share to just kind of lighten it up a little bit, because it can get a little, you know, personable and scary sometimes when it comes to people's stuff. And then I'm also, yeah, my website. And then I offer free half-hour consultations so that way I can meet with someone and see the space and see what they're needing and see how I can help them and see if that is something that they would like me to do for them. So
great. Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us, Abby.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers and Tech, or email info@numbersandtech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.